Hey friends, welcome to the Make Life Matter podcast. I'm Angela Donadio, and each week I share compelling conversations with leading voices. They encourage us to ground our worth in the word instead of the narrative of the world. Together, we'll make our lives matter no matter what. Here's this week's episode.
Introduce you.
Okay.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. You know what? The last episode of 2024. I cannot believe it. And I've saved the best for last. So, I have a handful of women that I wanted to bring you some guests right before the end of the year that I was determined to make sure, I had these conversations and you got to hear from them before we closed out 2024. And Shannon Popkin, I've known her for a couple of years. This is our first time to finally get to sit down. And we both have a heart for not only Christian communicators, but for missions. She and I are both, by the time that this airs, she's probably just about to leave on a missions trip. I will have just gotten back from two different trips. So we're kindred souls in that regard. And we also just love the word of God and we love making it relevant and accessible to everyone so that they can grow and make their life matter for the kingdom. So today we're deep diving into the life of Sarah, which I don't think I've ever talked about in almost 300 episodes here on the podcast. So I'm just asking us today, if we ever struggle to believe in God's promises, especially when there seems to be a delay. And I know that I have. And so if that's you, you're going to want to lean in and listen for this. Shannon Popkin invites us to be shaped by God's promises, even in the waiting. So her brand new book is Shaped by God's Promises, Lessons from Sarah on Fear and Faith. It's a 6-week Bible study and it explores the life of Sarah in Genesis 12 through 21. And it offers helpful commentary, practical illustrations, moving stories, and heart-searching questions. From the platform page and podcast mic, Shannon's passion is to invite women to open their Bibles, to drink deeply of God's story, and to live like it's true. Her books include Control Girl, Comparison Girl, and the brand new book, Comparison Girl for Teens, which if you just were listening, Lee was here, who co-authored that book with her. And she hosts the Live Like It's True Bible podcast. Welcome, Shannon. I'm so excited to have you here on the Make Life Matter podcast.
Wow, it's such a privilege, Angela. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. I feel like I need to get a confetti popper out of my closet. It's the last episode. Yeah, I feel like we need like confetti or fan and, you know, something going on. But
well, in 300 episodes, congratulations on that. That's amazing.
I'm pushing. Yeah. It's like 270, some 280 something. And
oh, round up, man.
Yeah, round it up. We're almost there now, right? So, I've been just as blessed by every conversation, Shannon, as I hope my listeners are, because I've learned and grown, you know, and stretched and just encountered conversations and people and their stories that I would have never otherwise been able to. So it's been a gift. Trust me, it's been a gift in my life. And I just thought we're about to head toward the holidays and I have the Communicators Collective Retreat coming and these missions trips. So I thought, well, I'm going to end a little early this year. And, but not before I bring Shannon. It's going to be so great.
Well, and
I just
had
Lee. Yeah. And we just talked about, you know, choosing what I call choosing confetti over comparison, but really stopping that cycle of comparison. You just released Comparison Girl for Teens.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Two books, weeks apart, which is like kind of having two babies weeks apart.
It is. Yeah.
Never released a book. So congratulations on two book babies. But this brand new book, this new Bible study, I love this. I've never really deep dived studied in the life of Sarah. This is Shaped by God's Promises, Lessons from Sarah on Fear and Faith. So why was this the story that you wanted to cover in your next Bible study?
Well, my love for Sarah and her story really goes back to when I was writing Control Girl. I studied these seven controlling women in the Bible and all these lessons for myself. And Sarah's chapter, it was like, I just couldn't pack it all in there. There was so much. It kept spilling out of the edges. And so I had always really wanted to go back. And there were several parts of her story that I had questions about and wanted to deep dive. And I had actually studied This was my very first attempt, Angela, of writing anything goes back maybe, I don't know, 12 or more years. And our church had a little gap in Bible study. So I wrote a 3-week study on Sarah. And so I've just been intrigued by her story for many years. I find so much overlap with my own issues with control, with comparison, with all the different things that she encountered, the waiting, not wanting the waiting, turning to self-reliance. So yeah, there's a lot in her story that I can relate to.
Yeah, I think we all can. And I love that you are letting us kind of humanize these women, because sometimes,
Right.
I wrote my second Bible studies on Fearless. I'm just looking over it on my shelf, and it's some of these women that we maybe know, like if it was modern day today, one caption. And so to be able to really study them and know what Rahab was truly like, or Abigail, and now Sarah, I think it's so crucial, because we can think, and I'm sure you've experienced this, Shannon, as you're teaching the Bible, that these women are so far removed from us, or what do they have in common with us, but far more than what we think. And we've all had seasons of waiting, right? Where we're so tempted to just kind of, how can I manipulate this situation and control it? I love that you say that God's promises are like a set of parentheses. So I want to start with that, because I think that is such a unique way of describing his promises and maybe what the waiting feels like. So tell us why you shaped it that way.
I say his promises are like a little set of parentheses. They always come in pairs. You have when God makes the promise, that's the first parenthesis. When he keeps it, that's the second parenthesis. You always know there's another one coming. Like when you see a parenthesis in a paragraph, you always know the second one's coming. And that's how God's promises and fulfillments work. Like we can know that we know that we know that if God has promised something, he's going to keep that promise. But for the people of God, it's not clinging to the promises that's the problem. Like we love God's promises, right? We put it on our t-shirts and our coffee mugs. Like God always keeps his promises. We love that part. The part that we struggle with is like sometimes the gap between the parentheses,
That's
they
so
get
good.
wider and wider and wider. And we're just like we have the first one and we're waiting on the second one. And there's this sense of anticipation and really disappointment and frustration and hurt and disillusionment with God happens as that timeline extends. And I think, what's so interesting, like you were talking about humanizing these women, what's interesting when we look in on their stories, we get a layer of perspective that we don't get in our own lives because these are told over centuries. Like our Bible, like the timeline is thousands of years wide. And so we get to see things that, we like in Sarah's lifetime, she didn't even get to see how God answered the promises. So we get this perspective that is wider and we get God's view of, what's happening. We get the fulfillments that happen, thousands of years later. Like the thickness of my Bible. I don't have my Bible right next to me, but if I did, I would show you like God first made the promise of Jesus in Genesis 3. That's the first mention of the gospel, right? That he would send a savior to crush Satan's head, right? The destroying of evil. But that promise isn't fulfilled until Matthew 27 when Jesus dies on the cross. And so there is like this thick gap in my Bible. And I don't think like, we would never rip that all out, right? But I think in the way that we think about the overarching story of the Bible, or when we, even the way that we talk about the gospel, we go from sin to the Savior all in the same
Yeah,
sentence,
so
all in
true.
the same song. Like, and we skip over those thousands of years that people actually lived. And so there's just this beautiful value in looking at God's view of an actual person's life, like Sarah, where he made a promise and she didn't get to see all those fulfillments. But because we ultimately see them in our Bible, we know that the promises that include us are going to come true as well.
That's so true. I mean, there's so much we don't even get to see in our lifetime, but that's that waiting where we're really wrestling with whether or not we trust the character of God.
Correct.
You talk about even a prayer journal that you had. What have you seen and come to realize in your own life, Shannon, that God has taught you during seasons of waiting? And I'm sure it could fill volumes, but a couple of things that you realize, I couldn't have learned this either about the character of God or about your own relationship with him and others any other way except through waiting.
Yeah, I have this prayer journal that you mentioned. It's like a 5-year journal. So like on today is 2024, you know, August 2024 at 14th. Well, I can look back at 2023, 2022. So it's 5 years in one page and just write in my prayers and watch for ways that God's answering. But there was a day that I was writing in that journal about a relationship that I was begging God to heal, a broken relationship. And it just was one of the most painful things in my life. And as I was filling in my journal, I looked back to the year before and saw almost the identical prayer.
Oh, wow.
And it just, my heart just sank because I thought, oh my goodness, am I going to fill up this whole journal? Like, how long, oh Lord? Like, how long is this going to go on? I don't know. And I think we have to be careful. I talked about in this book, like there's a danger in misappropriating promises that don't belong to us. Like I can't turn to a chapter and verse that says that this relationship will be reconciled, right? Now there are promises that do apply. You know, things like God listens to me and that, he hears my prayers and that he's always working and that, you know, my contribution to that broken relationship. Like I am forgiven. I can return over and over. Like God doesn't hold my sin against me. Like I am saved from my sin. Jesus's righteousness has been applied to me. Like all sorts of promises that do apply. And those are the things I think that we do need to rehearse. And yet, you know, why doesn't God just answer in a moment? Why a year later am I asking for the same thing? You know, he's all powerful. Why the wait? And we see that in Sarah's story, like why this wait? Why did God make a promise in Genesis 12 that he was going to make of them a great nation? And they're this family of two, Abram and Sarai. And why make that promise and then extend the timeline 24 years before she becomes pregnant? Like why even make the promise? You know? And so why the wait is kind of the question that I think we all wrestle with. I don't, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think we all struggle with the waiting.
Yeah.
And yet what I see in both Sarah's story, in that extended timeline of the Bible we talked about, you know, that wait for the Savior, you know, these waiting on other promises of God, we don't learn God's faithfulness in a minute.
Yeah.
It's only over time. It's only over as those parentheses expand. That's where we learn that God is faithful. And it's so true in my life. Like if I were to show you a picture of my husband, the day that we met, you know, like here's my new boyfriend. He's a really faithful man. You know, as a wise woman would say, you don't know that he's faithful. How would you know that? You just met him. You know, this was your first date. But if I show you a photo of us after year 28, we just celebrated our 28th anniversary, I can say this is a faithful man. Yeah. Well, then that makes a lot more sense, right? So it's over time, over this extension of time that God demonstrates his faithfulness. And he can't do that in a shorter time frame. You know, if he were to keep that promise of the baby, like if I think it once Sarah was given that promise, like she's thinking, we're going to move to this promised land. I'm going to get pregnant on the way. We're going to get there. We're going to build a house. We're going to start having these kids and God's going to keep up. Like that's what would have been in my mind.
Yeah.
And she gets there and you know, they don't build a house. They live in a tent and they don't claim the land. They never owned any land. The only land they owned was where her body was buried. Yeah. Right. And they don't have a baby and month after month after month goes by. And so when we look in like this extension of the timeline, what we see though, is that in year 24, when God visits her, he restates this promise and it's as if he never wavered.
Yeah.
Sarah's going to have a baby. It's going to be next year. He always had intended to keep this promise. He never was holding back on the promise.
Right.
And so by seeing his faithfulness, like this was always part of his plan, by seeing his faithfulness in her life, and seeing his faithfulness in the Bible, this is where God wants to shape us by his promises.
Yeah.
And that's the second thing. Like, so the first thing I think that happens in the waiting that can't happen without the extended timeline is we learn about God.
Yes.
And the second thing is that understanding of who God is and the fact that he always keeps his promises, that changes us, that shapes our lives. And that process doesn't happen in a minute either. It happens over time where I say, I see this first parentheses, I see God that you've made this promise. And I believe that you will keep your promise. And that changes me.
Oh, that's so good, Shannon. And there's just so much wisdom in everything you shared. Everything from misappropriating the promises of God to how do we wait well, you know, without defaulting. And we live in a, you know, if you're listening in the States, at least, I mean, I know this is listened to in, you know, over 100 countries, but here in the West, let's just say it that way, we don't know how to wait well. You know, everything is, if you wait longer than 5 minutes in a Chick-fil-A line, you know, you want your money back. People are just like so fast and furious. And we impose that on God. We impose that our timeline needs to be his timeline. His promises are unfailing, but his timeline, often we don't understand. And I think that was so much the case for Sarah. And like you're saying, Shannon, year after year, you're waiting on something. You're beginning to be more and more crestfallen. Now at the point that they come and announce that she's going to have a baby, it's so far past the time it's possible. It's almost like a cruel joke. Like, really, now you're going to come and tell me this when it's not even possible for this to happen for me. So we can look, and I've read her story with kind of this like disdain a little bit for her. How dare you like manipulate God? But we've all been there, right? I mean, we've all looked at a situation and we thought, if I could just help God out, like just he needs a little bit of help here. So talk about, because you even describe her as the brittle branch of the family tree and her infertility. You know, I wrestled with infertility early on in my marriage before I got pregnant. And whether it's infertility or waiting on a spouse or waiting on a prodigal child, whatever the wait is in between those parentheses, the struggle we have, Shannon, is not becoming bitter, right? And then that bitterness not only erodes our own life, but then if we're not cautious, we begin to play God. So talk about that, because we do see these being primary issues in Sarah's life and warnings for us that it can be the same type of you know, mechanisms that we can default to in the seasons of waiting.
Well, I think, you know, infertility, you experience the pain. I think our listeners, like, you'd be a rare person to not have the pain of infertility not overlap your life in some way. Maybe it's not you personally, but you, a friend or a daughter or someone. And so that pain is real. And I don't want to minimize that in any way. But I think in Sarah's culture, it was a different sort of pain.
That's good.
You know,
good insight.
If you or I were struggling with infertility, well, we have different doors that we can knock on. Like, you know, maybe we'd see a specialist. Maybe we would talk about adoption. You know, there's different things that we could, you know, turn to that would be legitimate in God's plan for us. In Sarah's culture, there was only one way that your significance and worth was measured, and it was the number of children that you produced with your body, right? And so she only had, this was the only door, and it was locked to her. And so I think we just don't really understand how much of a struggle this was, how her whole identity was wrapped up. I mean, there were laws that we've uncovered, you know, with archaeology that where if you were married to someone for 2 years and they had not produced a child, well, then you could take another wife. This was just, it was written into the law there. And so for Abram to have waited, like, Genesis 16 says that they had lived there for 10 years and Sarah still had no child. And so to not have included a second wife to this point, I mean, that was actually pretty gracious, pretty generous. And so, like, we cannot fault her. This was just completely acceptable in their culture. They didn't know God. Like, I think we have to keep that in mind too. Like, they were pagans. You know, Joshua says that they came from a family of people who worshiped other gods.
Other gods, that's right.
Yeah, most likely the moon god. And so their introduction to God was him coming to them, making these promises. This is the first they had ever even heard of God. And so their faith was extravagant. They left everything behind. You didn't do that back then. They moved to this promised land. But they're still trying to understand who God was. Could he keep the promise? You know, would he keep the promise? They don't know. They're still trying to learn who God is. And so everything in their culture said that this was an acceptable way. So maybe Sarah thought she was saving God face, saving face for God, or certainly for her husband. He's the clan leader. Everyone in this clan, like they weren't just traveling solo. They had, probably close to 1,000 in their entourage at different, by the time that they left Egypt. And so, this is a huge number of people who all look to the clan father and expect a son who they're going to be kept safe by this heir, and if somebody else comes in, is adopted in, or he names this Eliezer's whatever, as his heir. Well, everybody feels uncertain. And so Sarah is stopping everything. She's holding up God here. She's holding up Abram. So all of that to say, like, she is feeling this legitimate pressure. She not only can't have a baby, she has a husband who believes that God is going to give them a baby. And I just imagine him saying, like, every month, any news, any anything. And month after month being the disappointment. And so she turns to self-reliance. She says, and I think it's an interesting choice of words. In Genesis 12, we read God says, I will, I will, I will, I will make of you a nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless all the other nations through you. But then in Genesis 16, Sarah says, maybe I can have, take Hagar as wife. Maybe I can. So she's turning to self-reliance to produce what only God can. And yeah, I called her the brittle branch of the family tree. She can't produce this fruit. And so it's almost like she's taking her stapler and like, okay, maybe I can staple up this fruit. She turns to self-reliance. And what I think is so interesting is by the end of the story, Hagar's child is not does not continue. Like the promises are not kept through this child. And God wants us to be sure, to be so confident and sure that our salvation does not come through self-reliance. That this is a story that shows us, because this is not just a story about a couple having a baby. This is a story about a baby that will lead to the Savior. This is an extension of the original promise of the gospel. Like, a lot lies on this story of them having a child and this line extending to the Savior. And so if we can, if she, Galatians talks about the child that was produced through Hagar as the child of self-reliance. And so if that's our salvation story, what does that say?
Yeah, that's so good.
Right. And so, no, it can't be this. God wants for us to know that self-salvation is not possible. Self-reliance and faith lead in two opposite directions. And so, the moment that self-reliance begins, faith ends. The moment that faith begins, self-reliance ends. And so, this is just part of Sarah's story. It's part of all of our story of turning to self-reliance instead of turning to trust in God, but yet, it's a beautiful story of how God redeems it. And he never wavered on his promises. He always intended to give them this baby.
Oh, wow. I mean, I love the way that you just framed that whole story for us. And the fact that when you boil it down, it's this self-reliance versus God's way of doing things. It made me think yesterday, I recorded a quick little reel, and I just jokingly said, "Don't you love that scripture that says God helps those who help themselves?" And I said, actually, that's not in the
It's
Bible.
not in
It's actually a
the
pagan belief that came from the ancient Greeks, which
Bible. Right.
felt the gods and goddesses
Yes.
they taught they will help people who help themselves. And so that goes against this self-reliant, well, God will help me if I maybe I need him for 20%, but 80% I need to be self-reliant and self, and that just isn't the message of the gospel. It's if you come to me, you
Yes.
have nothing. You have no way of saving yourself. You have no amount of works is going to do it for you,
Yeah.
which is can be very like first of all, it can sound too good to be true. And secondly, it can feel a little like there's nothing you just have to release. It's such surrender.
It
And you
is.
have, like you said, you've got to hold space with the fact that she's in this culture that completely valued a woman only by her ability to have a baby. And there was a promise. It's not like she's making this up. So a promise, and you don't even know this God, and you're thinking, well, maybe I miss God, or maybe I messed up somewhere along the way. So
Or maybe he's expecting me to do this,
exactly,
right?
maybe
You
I
know,
this is
maybe.
what I should have done all along, especially in a culture where it's so accepted. So we're not saying those things are accepted now, nor ever God's plan.
And nor are we saying that, you know, I mean, like this Genesis 16, like first of all, she has a slave. Second of all, she uses this slave as a polygamous mother, you know, for her. Like this is all very like none of this is affirmed by the Bible, but the culture for sure, culture.
Absolutely.
And but I just want to piggyback on what you said. Like, look at the extension of this timeline and how it shows us. Like, God just wanted us to know that we know that we know that our salvation is not from
That's
ourselves,
it. That's
right?
yeah, that's
That's the
key.
he waited until she knew for sure she was not the one who was producing this baby
Well, that's
at
amazing.
age.
Yeah, it was so long that now it's like it makes me think of the scripture, and I think it's in 2 Corinthians. We hold this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not us. In other words, you hit on something I've never thought of, and I'm sorry I interrupted you. I just got excited there. Like, it was so long of a wait that now they were both, in human terms, completely barren, like past childbearing age. So now anything that happens is in the miracle category. This is in the
It
only
is.
God could have done it category. So you're right. That's because I was thinking as you were talking earlier, but why 24 years? Why make them wait? But you're right. It waited past the point where you're going to take no credit for this.
Yeah,
This is a
self-reliance is
no,
not, and even
wow.
to the point where, like, when in Genesis 18, there's this scene where God comes to lunch, you know, and if you back up to Genesis 17, God has already revealed to Abram, you're going to have a son, and a year from now through Sarah, like all of the mystery is solved. It's going to be through Sarah, like. But then he comes again in Genesis 18, and it's like there is no new information in Genesis 18 when Sarah is in the tent and these strangers restate this promise. Sorry, restate this promise. And so why come again? I think it's for Sarah. I think it's so that she will overhear God saying from his lips, you're going to have a son. But look at her reaction. Her reaction is so telling. She laughs to herself, like, oh, really? Like now after
Seriously.
all these years. And so what that shows us is Sarah is not, is she's no longer holding claiming the promise. She thinks she's irrelevant. She feels like the parentheses have closed around Abram and Hagar. Their son has been born, and she's irrelevant. The way that she talks about herself, she sees herself as worthless, discarded. You know, she says, now that I am old, like it's this word for like an old, worn out rag. She sees herself as irrelevant. She's not hoping that God will keep the promise. She sees her life as useless. She's irrelevant. And that is not how God sees her. He sees her as a year from now, Sarah will have a son. And learning that, that's where everything changes for Sarah. Because what we know is between that time where she overhears this and a year from then, there is this moment, Angela, where Sarah at age 89 somehow turns to her husband and takes the great risk of saying, you want to try for a baby? I mean, like we are 89 years old. And I mean, what's clear, what I didn't mention is when she says, you know, now that I'm old, will I have pleasure? It's not the pleasure of having a baby. It's it's sexual pleasure.
Yeah,
Is
exactly.
it's not any words that she would have used out loud. I mean, she's, this is self-talk here. And God doesn't restate those. He uses a more polite version when he talks about what Sarah was saying to herself, but what she's telling us, she's giving us this little window. She and Abram aren't sleeping together anymore. And so to go ahead and sleep with her husband after there already is a son, and she is 89 years old and she feels worthless, like something has changed. And what is it? What has changed? What has caused this woman to take this great risk of another painful disappointment? Well, She is being shaped by God's promise.
Wow.
Hebrews 11 says that she considered him who promised faithful. So it's that considering. She considered. She knew that God was faithful to keep his promises, and that's why she was willing to take the risk. And that's why we can be willing to take these risks too, because we know our God is a God who's faithful.
Wow, that was so powerful. That's a whole sermon. I'm about to take a lap. That was so good, Shannon. That was so good.
It's such a great
honestly,
story.
There's nothing worse than feeling irrelevant. I mean, my husband and I have been in ministry for 30 years, and we're in a postmodern, post-Christian world. And so there's moments the enemy loves to come in and say, you're just irrelevant. Nobody really cares about church anymore. And, you know, you could be doing something else. I mean, he's relentless. The enemy is relentless in his attempts to get you to no longer be shaped by the promises of God.
And there's two reactions that we've already talked about. One to that feeling like, oh, what do I do? Is like, I can staple up the fruit myself. It's self-reliance. And the other is just resignation. I can't do anything. Like, Sarah, I feel like worthless. It's no point. But the third option is to be shaped by God's promise, knowing that you can't produce it. Nothing about this is going to be produced by you and your power. But you have this power living inside of you, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power that caused a woman at age 89 to conceive a baby. That is the power living inside of you. And you will see fruit from that. This is what God promises. It may not be in your lifetime. It may not be in your sphere of influence. You may not understand how God is working and what his ways, you know, the timeline is often very different that we expect, but we know that our God is faithful and that he's the one who produces the fruit.
It's so good, Shannon. It's so good. I just want that word for anyone who feels that way, you know, in any of the potential ways we might see ourselves, the staplers in our hand, or we're just quitting and forgetting, this. It's too hard. It's too long. It's too whatever. I don't want to look at my prayer journal again and see the same prayer in a year. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, your heart sinks. You're just like, are you serious right now? So wherever we find ourselves, and this literally is the last episode of this year, like, what a thing to hang our hope on is consider, like, because even you acknowledge, like, there's some it's hard not to feel skeptical seeing her name and Lot's name and some other names in that Hebrews Hall of Faith. You're like, really? Like, it challenges, like, I haven't had that argument with my husband, like, really, Lot? So it makes you step back and reevaluate, what am I not seeing that God saw? What am I not understanding in context here that is like the great risk she was willing to take? God, you said it. It has been painfully long, but I'm willing to consider that you are still who you say you are. And that is the promise that he's asking us to be invited into. I love that the verb you use, Shannon, as we kind of wrap up, is shaped by God's promise. Because even that takes time. Yes. That's not an instant thing, but you're shaping this. And sometimes you don't even know for a while until it's taking shape. I know what this is going to be, whether you're an artist or you're creating pottery or you're painting something or whatever. My son's a designer, and sometimes I don't know quite what's, and then I see it taking shape and I realize, oh, that's what this piece is going to be. So it makes me think back a few years ago, my husband and I went to Italy for our 25th year at the church, or 20th anniversary. And Shannon, I went to the, forgive me because I'm thinking of it in the moment, so I might say it wrong, but it's in the area in Italy where Michelangelo's statues are. And then before you get to the David, you know, there's the piece de resistance, you go through these, and they're called something, you might know what it is, but it's like the unformed statues, and they're statues he never finished. And he used to say that the shape was in there. He just was like releasing it and setting it free. And he let those statues stand. He wanted those to still be a testament. And there's a whole story behind that. I'm kind of butchering it, but it came to me in that we don't get to decide what the shape is that God is doing and why it's taking so long, or why we feel, I think they're called unfinished. It might be like the unfinished statues that you walk through this hall. And that almost spoke more volumes to me, Shannon, than the beautiful finished David, because I I identify more with the unfinished. Like, I'm getting emotional. Like, I can identify more with the unfinished statues and feeling like, why are these things not finished? Why are these, we want to like close the loops and tie up things with bows. And it just sometimes life doesn't work that way, And we have to know that God is just as faithful in the moments of miracles as he is in the 24 years of waiting. He's the same God. And the same power you just talked about is also the power to give us sustaining power. He's able to make all grace abound at all times, having all that we need, even in those seasons where we need to put down the stapler or we need to just trust God's promises and allow him to shape us, even if you feel unfinished. He knows what he's doing. It doesn't look like it sometimes, right, Shannon? Like, sometimes we're like, do you even know what you're doing up there? Like,
Well, and I
can
don't
be
think,
very, very tough.
yes, and I don't think any of us are going to be finished in this lifetime. Like, I
Exactly.
think we have to extend that timeline out to include the new creation. Like, that's where we're going to see that God has kept all of his promises. It won't be in this lifetime. It wasn't for Abram and Sarah. It couldn't have been. They couldn't live long enough to see God keep the promise that he was going to turn them into a nation. You know, they lived, they got to see a little bit. They got to see the first step of the miracle unfolding. And that's true for us too. We don't know. And so if you are questioning or wondering or doubting whether God has truly kept his promises because it's all unfinished. You're unfinished, your family's unfinished, your work is unfinished. Well, hold that thought, because don't close off the timeline too soon. It extends past where you're imagining, and wait until it's not until we get in that time and place where our king returns and he sets everything right. That's when we will know how faithful he has been to keep his
That's so
promises.
true. Even Hebrews says, that we mentioned a minute ago, that none of them, I know I'm keeping you long, I've got to wrap this up, but I love talking with you, Shannon, but it says none of them received what was promised. But together with us, now all those promises. So we're a part of this whole thing,
We are.
So when we read the Bible, hold space for the fact that, yeah, these stories are unfolding. They don't have what we have to look back and see the totality of the Old and New Testament, to see the fulfillment of the promises. Now we await, just like they did, we await our soon coming king. We don't know how long that soon is going to be, but in the waiting, we have to trust that God is faithful and he's working in and through us. So thank you for ending our season, this last episode. What a way to end, just to be reminded that, as we wait on God, to know that we're waiting on him. So often, Shannon, I thought I was waiting on God, but I was truly waiting on an outcome. And so when we attach our hope to an outcome, that's where we get really tripped up. If we attach our hope to God, he is unfailing, even if the promise seems as though it's delaying or we don't see it in our lifetime. So thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your voice. She's going to pray for us in just a moment as we wrap up. But Shannon, how can people connect with you and get a copy of Shaped by God's Promises and Comparison Girl for Teens? So many resources you have for us.
ShannonPupkin.com. So I've got all the different books and, the podcast information there. I'd love to connect with you. I also have a Praying God's Promises resource that will list out some of these promises and give you ways to pray and differentiate which of the promises are for here and now and which ones apply to the there and then. And so helping you think through which promises to cling to here in the wait.
I love that. Thank you for that theology, by the way. I appreciate you wrapping that in healthy theology, because there have been some bad teaching around. We see it all the time, on quoting stuff that doesn't apply to us. And I don't want to get in that, but thank you for that. This, I might know the answer. It might be Sarah, but I always ask one last question, last time to ask it this year. But other than Jesus, Shannon, you're making your life matter for the kingdom in so many ways. But who is the person in the Bible that helps you to just continue to stay inspired to make your life matter?
I feel like it's every different Bible character that I
All
start
right,
studying.
at a different
So,
time.
but for this conversation, I have to choose Sarah because, like, I just so appreciate the way that that verse says she considered him faithful who had promised. That means, like, it's like this accounting term. It's like she stacked up the evidence, and the evidence was in God's favor. You know, it wasn't in, you know, it's like she had to be shaped by his promises, she had to take this great risk because he was faithful. And that's who I want to be. I want to take great risks. I don't want to be held back by the costliness of control and clamping down on my own little small-minded ideas for how it's supposed to turn out, or that worthlessness or self-reliance. Like, set all of that aside, perfectionism, all of that. I want to be a woman who is shaped by God's promises, who considers what God has promised me and just hold on to what he says he will do, not what I have to do.
I love that so much. And I thought, as you said that, before you pray, God's promises weren't nullified by the fact that she took matters in her own hands.
No. Yeah.
It was a devastating decision. We still live with the ramifications of that decision, but it did not negate God's using her. And maybe that's a word for someone. Maybe you think, well, I've already played God. I've already been too controlling. I've already manipulated. It's never too late. That's another beautiful side note of this story is God still, he didn't say to her, well, you know, if you just waited, but now I'm going to move on and find somebody else. His mercy is so great, Shannon, right? He's just so great. So
yeah, his faithfulness wasn't reliant on their faithfulness. Like, so he didn't keep his promises because they were faithful. He kept his promises because he was
he
faithful.
is faithful.
And
that's
got
got to be
to
part of what she considered, don't you think? She
yes,
considered that
absolutely.
he who promised, in spite of my faithlessness,
Yes,
would
yeah.
continue to be faithful. So thank you for this. Thank you. I feel like I've been to church. I feel like my heart is
Me too. It's been great.
I talked with Edie Melson this morning and you today. And so I just feel full to overflowing in these last two conversations of the year on the podcast. I'm so honored to have this last conversation of this year to be with you, Shannon. So thank you for all that you do. And would you pray over us, especially anyone who may be wrestling with any of these things that we've talked about today?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you, Angela. It's just been a joy to be here. Lord Jesus, we love you. We're so grateful that when you first made those promises to Abram in Genesis 12, you were thinking of us because you said that through him, all the nations would be blessed. And so I'm not Jewish, but I am one of those nations that were blessed through Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful that you are a faithful God, that you keep your promises. And God, I pray for the person who is just overwhelmed with how long it's been, the waiting, how things haven't gone the way that he or she hoped, the way that, you know, that there's been fallout, there's been tension, there's been disappointment. And Lord, I pray that this conversation would remind us in a dozen different ways that it isn't about us. It's not about us and us keeping our promises to you. It's about you keeping your promises to us. Like, I just am so grateful that your faithfulness isn't contingent on mine. Lord, thank you for being a God who's faithful. Thank you for being a God who keeps your promises. Lord, I pray that that would shape us in the moments, in the weeks and the years to come. I pray that just clinging to your faithfulness is what will reshape our thinking and our lives. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining the conversation. If you've been inspired to make life matter, share a review and subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. Connect with me at AngelaDonatio.com, Facebook at AngelaDonatioVOV, and Instagram at AngelaDonatio. Until next week, let's make life matter.